Sundays on the CW, brace yourself, superhero fans, because the bat signal is on and you won't believe who's swooping in to heed the call. From the brilliant mind of Greg Berlanti and the executive producer of the superhero smash hit Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl, and Legends of Tomorrow comes the most anticipated new series to join the CW-verse. It's Batwoman. Get ready to meet your new hero, Kate Kane. She's a survivor like me, a fighter, and an all-around badass who plays by her own rules, and she's got the ink to prove it. Batwoman's story begins 3 years after the mysterious disappearance of Batman, when Gotham City is in desperate need of a new kind of hero. Soon after returning home to defend her city from the notoriously twisted Alice in Wonderland gang, she discovers her cousin Bruce Wayne's mysterious lair and his unbelievable secret. With the help of Batman's trusted tech genius Luke, she decides to carry on Batman's mission by becoming Gotham City's new superhero vigilante. From the suit to the gadgets to the fight scenes that will blow your mind, this is the Batwoman of a new generation. Don't miss the incredible series premiere of Batwoman Sunday at 8, 7 Central on the CW, or stream the next day on the free CW app.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls. Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back together here for the first time since May. Steven, how are you?
It's been so crazy. Like, not just the summer vacation, but, you know, we didn't record the last episode of the last season or first episode of this season. I've missed you so much. It's like we don't even talk unless we're podcasting together.
I know. But it's so nice to see you, you are in a new locale. For those of you guys who are watching the video, Steven, where are you at?
Broadcasting from Silver Lake, California. I'm a temporary moved out here for a year or a couple of years. We'll see where it goes. You know, gonna catch my big break as an actor.
Okay.
Well, or a TV host. I could be a TV host.
Who like knows?
Every other, reality contestant who moves to Los Angeles.
Who knows? Is it true that Paraphrase the Movie is in development?
It's actually going to be a streaming series on CBS All Access.
Okay. Oh, that's exciting. Okay. Yeah. All right. So very excited to be back with you live here tonight. Going to talk about episode number 2. I really enjoyed this episode. I thought this was a lot of fun tonight, Steven.
Yeah, this was great. You know, this is a great cast. It's a really great cast.
Fun group.
And I mean, as down as I was on the Island of the Idols premise, it's so fun in like a kind of like a campy way, but it's a fun campy way.
Okay, all right. So we're going to talk about that and much more here tonight as we kick off your Survivor Week. I will have an exit interview with Molly tomorrow morning, so be on the lookout. Wow. Exit interviews are back. Bradley Kleige is going to be here in the studio. We'll get into a feedback show with your friend of mine, Shannon Gates, this week as well, and plus The Wiggle Room and This Week in Survivor, all coming up here on Rob's Podcast, not to mention what's happening on the B&B and why Molly lost, all here on Rob's website. But Steven, first I want to start with a quiz.
Hey, I told you this whole time was going to be a quiz.
Steven, if you were paying attention.
I definitely was not paying attention.
Who was going to be on the feedback show? No, who is Steven?
Shannon,
where?
Shannon.
Yes, you're right. Where were you? Should have held out. Okay. where were we 5 years ago tonight, Steven?
Like in our lives, like physically or like emotionally?
Yes.
I thought it was in a state of agitation.
I probably, but tonight, 5 years ago tonight, October 2nd, 2014, was the first ever live know-it-alls.
Oh, wow. I was in a state of agitation.
Yeah, you and I were in the basement of the Gotham Comedy Club with 75 of our closest friends. We couldn't believe 75 people came out to see us, and we watched Val Collins find two idols on Redemption Island or on the Exile Island before she was voted out. And Stephen, could you believe it? 5 years ago tonight.
I can't believe we're still friends. And I can't actually, like, that was a scary episode for me later because, you know, we made so much fun of Val at the time and who's now like one of my great friends. Mm-hmm. And I was terrified going back to play with Jeremy that he would never forgive me for having mocked his wife. What a fun night that was. I was very, very, very nervous, obviously, in advance of that. Who can, and now it's like, you know, we can, like, then we sold 75 tickets. Now it's like we can sell 80, 90 tickets. Like we've it's gotten so big.
Yeah. Okay. So here, there we are. It was 5 years ago tonight. So fun anniversary to the day, October 2nd, 2014. And I've been seeing some pictures today in our patron group of people that were there that first night, the original 75.
So cool. Yeah. That's so cool. Can I get invited to that group? I would like to be a part of that.
Yeah, I think that we could talk about that. Let's talk about that offline. Okay. All right. So, Stephen, we should talk about this big vote. And I kind of thought, are we getting the bait and switch? Did they just dangle this Molly vote off in front of us? And then here I go, hook, line, and sinker. But a big move, a big blindside at the Second Tribal Council.
Yeah, and I'm really curious to talk about it with you because, like, I couldn't decide. Like, is this, like, obviously every blindside is good for some people and bad for other people. But, like, from those kind of people in the middle, from the Kellys and the Tommies of the world, like, is this the right decision or is this just sort of the excitement of a big move early?
Yeah, I think it might be the excitement of a big move early. I mean, it was exciting for me. I loved it. I wonder if the people that were in the middle might have had a little bit of the big move itis. By the way, hashtag RHAP if you want to get your questions here live into the show. So, yeah, Stephen, I feel like that. Who specifically do you think might have been just caught up in the excitement?
I mean, I think we can, you know, I think, you know, the show sort of presented us these, like, this, you know, when Tommy heard about it, he was like, whoa, like, hold the phone. Like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to do that necessarily. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there was a lot of thinking that ultimately, and probably many conversations that ultimately went into his decision. And, it, you know, they presented as like, do I could go left or I could go right. And, you know, of course there's many more, you know, subtle interplays and conversation that goes into it. But I kind of think, it seems to me a no-brainer in that situation. You vote off Jason. Like, Jason is, like, you know, no reason to vote off Nora. But, I mean, and I say this with respect for Jason and, you know, love for my doppel nerd out there who, you know, has so many great lines. And I just feel like that whole, like, don't know dancing, like, this is Footloose.
This is Footloose, yeah.
Was so fantastic. But
that was,
like,
great.
Just a no-brainer to get rid of that guy now.
Yeah, because I think that the people that we saw talking about this, it seemed like that Lauren was the ringleader of the let's take out Molly here at this tribal council. That Molly is the person who, she's the new Parvati. Right. We have to get rid of Molly. And it seemed like that she was the person who really got the momentum going. We saw her talking with Janet, ultimately with Kelly and with Tommy as well. And they were able to get Nora and Jason on board. But it didn't seem like that Nora and Jason were people that they were particularly close to. It seemed like that it was more of a shot across the bow of that three of Jamal and Jack and Molly.
And it did seem, you know, to Lauren's credit, you know, it seemed like she was like, well, if I do this now, I can pull in Nora and Jason, right? Like, these are people, like, why get rid of these people when these are people I can use and work with later? And that's pretty valid. You know, if you don't feel like you're in power or in control of what's happening, and you have these three people who think that they're running things, and then over here, like, you're like, oh, I can, like, forge bonds and build a relationship where these people are going to really value me simply because I've saved them here. Whereas those people, like, they don't seem to value me at all. You know, like, those people are treating me like I'm a number. They're telling me where to vote. I mean, you had that great conversation with Kelly and Lauren and Janet where they were like, oh, so what do we do? You know, right before Lauren proposed the plan, they were like, well, what are we doing, guys? And, like, all of them were like, we've received our orders. You know, we are told to split the votes. You know, there was no sense of, like, conversation between them, decision-making between them. It was more like the bosses have told us what to do and we must do that thing. So, you know, to the sense that like you want to play with people who value your perspective, you want to play with people who are going to look to you and ask you questions. I see the idea of like, of sacrificing Molly to keep Jason and Nora, but it also is this is going to cause a lot of dissension within the tribe, right? Mm-hmm. Like getting rid of Jason, like Nora's got nowhere to go, but voting out Molly now, you know that Jamal, you know that Jack are going to be really, really, really betrayed in the way that on the other tribe we saw Aaron.
Aaron, yes, yes.
Aaron feeling very betrayed. Okay.
Yeah. So he definitely was to open up the episode. So where do you think this goes from here? Can Jamal and Jack rebound against the forces that ended up taking out Molly at this vote? Was this sort of just like a one-time shot across the bow and then they turn back around and go after a Jason or Nora at the next vote?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a tough one, you know, because it doesn't seem like a cohesive group really came together in the way that last, or, you know, certainly we didn't see the narrative of like, you know, this is a really tight foursome now. You know, it wasn't like you think, oh, now Kelly, Janet, Lauren, and Tommy are going to vote together for, you know, moving forward. In the way that on the other tribe, we saw, you know, we saw the Women's Alliance form, we saw Vince, Elaine, and Tom form. So yeah, I mean, I it seems like this the purple tribe is a lot more in flux.
Yeah, which is exciting, which is what I like to see. More so than great gameplay, I like to see things really get crazy.
Stuff happen. That's all we want.
Yeah, blow stuff up. You know, I want my Survivor to be a Michael Bay movie strategically.
Yeah.
Not in terms of twist. Okay, yeah. But Steven, what about for Molly? Well, where do you think that she went wrong?
Honestly, like it seemed that there was a level of confidence and arrogance with the vote, right? Where you had Jamal saying to Molly and Jack, hey, let's go nap. And then you have him literally napping. Can you imagine napping in the afternoon of a tribal council day? Like, that's crazy. Like, you know, things are constantly churning on Survivor. The game moves very fast. And if you're asleep, then it's giving other people the chance to strategize. You know, they can't strategize if you're physically there, right? Mm-hmm. Like no one can have a conversation and blindside you if you're a part of that conversation.
Yeah.
But if you're like literally sleeping, I mean, we've talked about this so many times in the past where like, it's such like a sign of arrogance. Like it encourages people to want to blindside you.
Yeah, I agree. And you and I are both nap enthusiasts. We would love a nap. Yeah, we would love to get one anytime that we can. But yeah, I think that especially in the edit, like it doesn't come across great when you're the person who suggests the nap when we see you sleeping during the day. I kind of thought at a point like, oh wait, is this going to be Jamal tonight? Are they going to turn against him? Especially at that tribal council where Jason really threw him under the bus about not having brought his bag. I mean, again, another symbolic, arrogant move to have made, to not only just be calling the shots and then also suggesting a nap, but then also not take your bag to tribal council.
And he had that quote, you know, the classic quote, like, we're doing this so great. You know, we're playing so well tonight. You know, we're surprised at how great we are. I mean, we've talked about this before. It's not like if you say that, you're definitely going home. But if you say that and you're blindsided, that quote is definitely making the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people probably say it out there, correct?
Yeah. Everyone's like, I think I'm in control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just use it when it goes against you. Okay.
Yeah.
Steven, do you think, could Jason, well, then we'll talk about Nora. Could he rebound from this? Is this like the first step towards Jason ultimately going on a run?
I felt like this was a really positive episode for Jason where like, you know, at the very start of the game, the tribe kind of makes its consensus decision just to like, cause everyone is so nervous. Like no one wants to be the first person home to go. And so like everyone kind of comes together and is like, it's going to be that guy. And as soon as that first vote has passed, then it just like takes the pressure off so much, and people, there's a lot more maneuverability for anybody. And, you know, for Jason to not play his idol, even knowing he was a target, or his non-idol, right? For like Jason to kind of dispel the fear about his, about having an idol. And then to kind of just be like a fun, nice guy. I think that it really does change things. And also I think the very fact of the power structure flipping probably gives him a lot more room to play, right? Like there's probably there's always a narrative that you tell yourself when you come home from tribal council, you know, and it's like you could see it on the other tribe. Well, Ronnie was the troublemaker and Ronnie was the cause of all of our problems. And so now that Ronnie's gone, it's a clean slate for everyone. And I'm sure that's going to be true here too, where it's like they were the bosses and they were saying Jason, but they're no longer the bosses. And now it's like, you know, so Jason, I think has room to play.
What did you think about Jason? That we saw Nora not really throw Jason under the bus, but really implied that she wanted to stay. We didn't see Jason really, you know, try to throw his friend and only ally under the bus. Do you think that helped his case, assuming that it wasn't happening behind the scenes?
Yeah, that was such a weak play from Nora, right? Like it was like
she liked him too much.
Yeah. There was something really charming about that too. I mean, it was both like bad gameplay and sort of like very endearing, where she like knew that like the correct decision was to like say, hey, I'll do whatever you want. Like, let it be me instead of him. Like she was putting in the legwork, but like she couldn't actually betray him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she seemingly like would go along with it, but we didn't see anything from Jason. But I kind of feel like that, and again, I'm assuming that it wasn't happening, but I feel like that helps his case in terms of that people were looking at him as like, oh, he's sneaky. But if he's not like really like out there throwing Nora under the bus, I think that helps his cause.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think if you're Jason, you want to really back off and just like not do anything. Mm-hmm. Right. Like make sure that no one thinks you're being devious. Where do you think the tribe is? Like, you know, going back, is this sort of like we voted out Molly? Now we're all, you know, now like handshakes all around. We're all even. Or is this, you know, is this a real like, is this Lauren taking control?
I don't know. I think it's still a mess. I think that we need to see some more information. I need to watch the episode again and sort of like break down like who was talking with whom. But I don't think that this is a static situation in terms of, okay, well, this is the group that voted together and now Jamal and Jack are going to be next. I wouldn't be surprised if it swings back around and then while it was like chalk one up for the nerds and the freaks and the weirdos tonight, I could definitely see Nora being the next person voted out of the tribe.
Does it grate on you when like everyone's like, I mean, there's like a little, there's like a level of like, oh, we're the nerds and the freaks and the weirdos, like go us. Like the first time that said, like, I'm in, like go nerds, freaks and weirdos. Like I am one of you.
Yeah.
But like the 19th time that it's like, go nerds, freaks and weirdos. Like, well, you like stop, like calm down.
You think it's too much?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, like we get it. Like enough like talking about how like wonderfully quirky you are.
Yeah. Well, the other kids were the other people were the cool kids in high school. You had to sit with them. For Tommy, I know he's a fourth grade teacher, but he was you know, there was a lot of the high school analogies going on in this episode.
You have a young gentleman in your house.
Yes. Like
are those sort of dynamics? Are those happening at the fourth grade level?
Well, my son is in kindergarten.
Well, but you know, like you're getting a sense of like how it works.
I haven't heard it yet. I haven't heard it yet, but I'll keep you guys posted about what's going on. I'll ask him and see what he thinks about all that. Steven, let's talk about the Island of the Idols, which is back. And we saw Kelly, a boat came, took her to the Island of the Idols, where she was quizzed on small talk from Rob and Sandra.
I initially really just thought that Rob and Sandra were losing their minds. Mm-hmm. I just thought, like, are they just like super, super bored?
They're so bored. They have nothing else to talk about. They've both heard each other's stories and like, please come in. Hey, come on into the snug. Sit down. We got to tell you some stories. Hey, check out these photos from our vacation.
And you know that like they're spending a lot of time just speculating about, oh, what do you think she's going to be like? Oh, what should we talk about? Like that'll be fun. You know, like they're just like their whole existence out there is focused on this like brief interaction that they have.
Steven, they have to be so bored. It must be miserable for Rob and Sandra to just sit there and stare at each other all day.
what I cannot imagine. Like, Survivor is boring by itself. And that's like Survivor when you're doing challenges, when you're strategizing, when you're like running around the island blindsiding each other. Like, that's still, there's like so much downtime and it's so boring. Like, I cannot imagine how boring it must be to just like sit there waiting for like the boat every 3 days to come through for an hour.
Right. They have to give them something, right? I mean, they don't have like books or magazines there in the snug on the Island of the Idols.
You know, the one time I visited Rob and Amber's house, I was reading a New Yorker and Rob made fun of me. So I don't think Rob is reading like that magazine.
Did you bring it or it was there?
No, I brought it, you know.
You bring your own New Yorker.
Yeah, we're all sitting around hanging out.
Hey, I hate New Yorkers.
All right. So Kelly is there. She gets a quiz on Sandra and Rob. And was she paying attention to the quiz? The quiz seemed real easy.
What a layup. Like, compared to making fire against Boston Rob, it's like, how many kids does Sandra have? Mm-hmm. I thought, like, what are the ages of Sandra's kids? Like, make this a little bit complicated.
Yeah. So now she aced it. She aced it. And she didn't even have to do much negotiating. She just had to like play hardball, hold out a little bit. And then Rob came in and sweetened the deal.
Yeah, Rob was ready to negotiate this time.
He was ready to negotiate. Didn't want to strike out and then not have there be a challenge on the Island of the Idols.
Well, the problem is like, it's just like, I don't know how any of them would know to negotiate. You know, I really actually thought when Kelly left with like Jason saying like, assume nothing, what was it? It was like, assume nothing and like trust nothing or whatever it was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought like that was going to be her cue to like, you know, to actually negotiate. But in fact, Rob was just, he was there. So, I mean, I'm hoping, you know, I'm really excited for like the interchange to happen, you know, for someone to like push him a little bit rather than for him to have to kind of present it to everyone who comes out.
Steven, were you triggered though in this episode when Kelly came out and she wondered what was going to be on the Island of the Idols? Was Cochran going to be there? And then Sandra said, no, this is better than Cochran. Is that possible? Better than Cochran?
No, there's nothing better than hanging out with Cochran.
Nothing better. Okay.
Yeah. Even a quiz about Rob and Sandra's families, even that is not better than hanging out with Cochran. Not better.
But what about that move from Kelly when she came back?
Oh, the hair idol.
The hair idol. Yeah. That was a classic.
That takes so much courage. I mean, people are like hugging her. We saw their like hands against her. Like, I don't have that much hair, but like, I don't even understand the physics of that.
Yeah, I guess it was really tied in there and that she must have felt comfortable. I feel like that if I was Kelly, I think I'd be like constantly like checking it to make sure it didn't move.
I mean, you know, or something like there was a little string hanging. Like, you don't want to be like caught with something like dangling in your, you know, in your hair. Rob, are you going to start growing out your hair in case you ever go back?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm going to go just full mullet. And just to have more places to hide idols that I will inevitably stumble upon.
Maybe get a big Rupert beard. You could like put an idol in the beard.
Yeah, could you do a beard or an idol beard? I feel like that. Sure. I don't think anybody's ever tried that.
No one has ever done the beard idol. You could be the first.
Yeah, I think I'm going to like just try like different things just to see if I could work on idol smuggling.
Yeah.
see what I come up with.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. See, Island of the Isles, is it still working for you through 2 weeks?
I mean, the question is always going to be, you know, I mean, I thought this was really fun. I like, and it also like, I thought it tied thematically into the episode, right? Because you have Kelly being told, hey, you have to listen to everything. And then you have Jamal getting blindsided because he's asleep and not listening. So I did think there was some thematic overlap, which I liked. You know, you've got sort of the object lesson of like, here's what happens when you disobey the rules.
Yeah.
But like, I just don't know how many rules there are going to be. There's like fire making. There's listen to everything.
Hey, we did 49 Laws of Survivor. We could knock out 49 episodes of this bad boy.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hope maybe they listen. Maybe they listen to the 49 Laws. We didn't cover hair idols, though.
We didn't cover the hair idol. But
yeah.
Steven, as long as we don't have a reward challenge, I'm fine. But then don't give me an episode where we're going to do a reward challenge. And then from the reward challenge, we're going to go to the Island of the Idols. And then we're going to come back from the Island of the Idols and go to the immunity challenge. It's too much. You don't have that kind of time.
What do you do? Are you, I mean, How nervous would you be if this was you coming? I mean, I talked a little bit about this. I'm sure you talked about it as well. I talked with Dominic last week. Like, what's your move? You go to the Island of the Idols. Like, how much you come back? You know, you've got the idol braided into your whatever. And what do you say? What's your position?
Well, now this is 2 weeks in a row that people came back with a fake story. Now, Mike Bloom, who was there on location, said, no, the contestants are totally allowed to say Rob and Sandra are there. I don't know why you wouldn't tell the real story and say, no, it's Island of the Idols, but it's the idols are Rob and Sandra. That you go and talk to, and Rob and Sandra are there. I don't know if you feel like, that she just spent the afternoon talking with Rob and Sandra. Better vote her out. She must loaded with knowledge.
I mean, that's a much more credible story than the urn story, where people are going to be like, oh, she said she broke the urn, or I guess that's credible, but it's like, it's still dangerous. People are going to be like, she said she broke the urn, but she actually has an idol. People are always going to be suspicious of you unless you have like a really viable alternate story, which is like, oh, heck, hey, there's these giant Rob and Sandra heads. And you know, Kelly kind of hinted at that with the giant heads, and then they'll think like, you know, you need people to give something for people to like hold on to, like, oh, like that's the theme, Island of the Idols. That makes sense. I see why that would be the theme of this season. I see why, like, where the appeal of that, like, isn't that cool? And then they're focused on that, not like what are you actually telling us, or what are you actually not telling us?
Yeah. So she brought the heads, and then I would have been like, well, what were the giant heads of? She's like, there's a giant head, it's a man and a woman. It's like, well, who is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bob and Abishola.
I don't get that. Is that a sports reference?
Yes.
Okay.
Big Abishola fan.
Tap into your jealousy to, like, you know, that it's not your giant head out there.
I mean, no. I feel like that if it was my giant head out there, I think it would just be a lot of people just like tweeting about how, like, why did they make it Rob C? That doesn't even make sense. Why there's so many better people. Why would they make it him?
Would they have carved the microphone? Would you have had like a giant, like 30-foot tall microphone in front of you?
I hope so. I hope so. Yeah. Why do you? Is that how you look at it? Do you feel like that?
No.
Yeah.
The idea. Obviously, it would be preposterous for it to be me, but the idea of it being me would be. I mean, it just seems terrible. Like you said, it would be so boring.
Okay. Yeah. Well, luckily, we don't have to worry about that, Steven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's getting so dark over here. It's like dusk is descending, and I don't have a great
light. You need a light. It's the first time on the West Coast for this. Yeah. Steven, what about if we were like a reward challenge? What if it was like, all right, we're bringing in two Survivor podcast guys? Oh, no. What about that?
What's the advice? I mean, I think the advice I would say is... oh man, I have no advice. I have nothing to tell anybody.
You'd have to go through like the old people blogs and then go like find like the best lessons that you learned and stuff like that. And then get them out a laptop and see if they can type up 500 words about what's happening in the tribe right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, think about it. Who would you be giving the fishy to this week?
Yeah. Are you winning? And if you're not playing to win the fishy, you're not
playing. What are you doing? Yeah. Who got the fishy this week?
I gave it to Lauren, even though we are a little ambivalent about her move. I do think it's still like, you know, it was still the power move of the episode. I mean, you know, it could be the right choice. It could still be the right choice. I'm not convinced that it's bad or good.
Yeah. We got into this a little bit last season with terms of like, you know, right move, wrong move, like, it's day six. We don't, you know, a million different ways that is this going to be the end of the game for Lauren? Probably not. And is she going to win the game because of this? You know, probably not. But it was exciting to us. And so we're generally pro making a move. Too boring.
Yeah. It would have been a kind of a bummer of an episode if it was just, you know, is it Jason or is it Nora?
Yeah.
So whatever makes the episode more fun, that's what we have to reward. Now, what did you think? Speaking of Nora and she's just great, isn't she?
She's great. I love having Nora on my TV. She's really fun to watch. And hopefully that Nora is on her way to a zero vote finalist as opposed to out of the game soon.
Yeah, which is a very, I mean, if she just makes it a few more weeks, that's a very viable spot for her. Mm-hmm. What did you think of her concern that the tribe wasn't working hard enough in the middle of the night?
Yeah, she doesn't like it when people were not up working. Why does everybody have to be sleeping and not working hard enough?
She was up in the middle of the night tending the fire, you know. By the way, like, it's kind of wasteful. If you're like feeding the fire all night long, then you're like depleting a lot of unnecessary firewood.
Yeah. I don't know if they need to keep the fire going because for whatever reason, like in the Amazon, we had to keep the fire going to keep like certain animals away from what we're doing. I don't know if that's a problem in Fiji.
Some people just need something to do, or they like go get restless and start to, you know, and I think that's her. She's just like, she needs a task.
Mm-hmm. Steven, let's go back and check in with our other tribe over at Lyro. We saw it was what a night for Chelsea. I'm surprised that Chelsea didn't get some consideration for the fish. She was because she lost the bag in the immunity challenge.
It was just like, you know, it's like nothing. I mean, making fire was great and impressive. And that was a great moment. And then like randomly finding that idol was great too. But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like she had some like big strategic move.
She made the fire.
Is that strategic? Is that, at this point in the series, like, you don't want to make the fire. Like, that's a reason for people to target you later. Like, remember Chelsea? She's like so great at fire. Let's get rid of her before she has a chance to win her way into the finals with her great fire making skills.
Interesting. Let's see. We haven't seen that in practice yet. Like, we have not, the game has not evolved to that point yet, but maybe this is the season where it happens.
Yeah. I mean, Elizabeth, you know, you didn't see her volunteering to do fire, even though she got a lesson.
Yeah, she got a lesson from Rob and Sandra. I guess it wasn't that great of a lesson. What about Aaron and how he approached things? He seems like that, you know, people are trying to give him another chance, give him the benefit of the doubt. And it seems like that he's not having it.
Yeah. And you know, it seemed like he was caught like right after tribal council between, I know I need to say the right thing, like, hey, no problem. And I'm also furious. Like, you could, like, the things he was saying, while, like, the words for the most part, except when he was talking to Missy, of course, the words for the most part were the right words, but there was so little, you know, he clearly didn't believe them. He was clearly so angry that it was, you know, it was just completely not believable. And then Vince, of course, like, lights him up. So he's like,
mad.
Well, yeah, Vince was mad too. So a lot, you know, Elaine was really trying hard to be the peacekeeper. She was, you know, saying all the right things. It was Ronnie's fault. Ronnie was creating all this strife. Ronnie was the reason you were targeted, you know, Vince. Ronnie was the reason you were left out, Aaron. Like, Ronnie's gone, like, you know, new day. But neither Vince nor Aaron, it seemed like, could put that behind them. And then, you know, credit to Missy too, where for taking Aaron aside, I actually thought about giving Missy the fishy because
she won the challenge.
Well, and everything she was saying was just like so right on the money in terms of, you know, let us earn your trust back. You know, it was like,
yeah, she was good.
Yeah. So, you know, it seemed like a lot of people in the tribe were trying to create peace, but seemed like Aaron really felt that inside himself at this point.
Steven, what did you think about the Women's Alliance? It came up again tonight in terms of the five Lero women. Do you think that this could hold? Do you think it
will?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Elaine wasn't even a target last week. We speculated, is it because of this Women's Alliance? Is it because of, you know, this heartfelt plea she gave? But it looks more and more like it was the Women's Alliance that really saved her and kept her out of trouble.
Okay. Steven, in terms of the two tribes, do you think that there is a swap on the horizon, or do you think we let this play out a little bit?
Definitely think they're going to play it out, right?
Good,
it's been so long since we've had two tribes that, like, won, you know, back-to-back challenges. Each tribe won one, each tribe lost one. And, you know, they've got this Island of the Idols thing going. Like, they don't want to waste time with a tribe swap.
Okay, I agree. Look, I thought this was really fun tonight. I know that we've started these seasons off with two tribes of nine or 10 in these last couple of seasons, but let this play out. This was fun. You don't get a big tribal council moment like this when you play with tribes of six.
Yeah, exactly. Because suddenly, you know, it's like the dynamics are so they're
Yeah. So keep it going. Okay. Yeah. All right. Before we get into the questions, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at joinhoney.com. Honey is a browser extension. Now, look, you could have Boston Rob out there negotiating for you, or you could get the Honey browser extension for your Chrome browser, which is going to, without any work on your part, negotiate the promo codes for the websites that you shop on to make sure you get the best price no matter what. You don't even need a lesson from Rob or Sandra.
Oh my God, that's fantastic. So you know, that's what we always say. It's like you go out there as this new contestant, mm-hmm. and you're like, you don't even know to begin negotiating. And that's right. probably how I browse the web. It's like, I don't even know how to start negotiating. Yeah. So like to have someone doing it on my behalf, like that would be amazing.
Yeah, forget Googling for all these promo codes. That's where Honey comes in, the free browser extension that saves you time and money when you're shopping online. Steven loves shopping online. He hates going out to the store, right?
Oh my God. I just sit inside all day to have an extension doing that for me. Forget it.
Yeah. Forget it. You'll have more time to write your blogs and read the New Yorker when you're using Honey. It's great on sites like Amazon as well. Whenever I'm on a site with a shopping cart, I'm always looking for that little Honey icon to light up to find a coupon code. You can save yourself a lot of money. I've used it even when they're not a sponsor of the podcast. So be sure to check that out and make sure you're saving all the money you can, because it's hard to make money. Don't be wasting it when you could be using the browser extension Honey to save money for you. Honey has found its 10 million users, over $1 billion in savings, Steven.
Oh my God, that's incredible. I'm a very prolific Amazon online shopper. Like this could be a revolution.
It's also good. It tells you when the prices are up or down and the things you're looking at on Amazon
as
well.
That's scary. Like that's like, you know, it's, you never know FOMO. Because their algorithms, they shift. It's like something that's like $10 one day could be like $4,000 the next day.
Well, then you know, with Honey. Listen, there's no reason not to use Honey. It's free to use and installs on your computer in two clicks. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/RHAP. That's joinhoney.com/RHAP. Okay. Wow. Let's get to the questions, Stephen. Okay. Let's talk about this. Why don't we bring this up with Mr. Thomas McGee? What does Thomas have to say, Stephen?
All right. Thomas is wondering, on the sneaky scale of 1 to 10, 10 being Boston Rob Sandra degree of ultimate sneaky gameplay, 1 being Rob Sesternino, no sneak. How smart was Kelly's plan to hide the immunity idol in her hair?
Okay. All right. I guess it's smart. I mean, we saw two different people in this episode, Stephen, of both saying like, hey, I have no idol. One person did have an idol. The other person didn't. I think that Jason's move, I think, was probably the more interesting one in that he like dumped out his bag. I mean, that he was willing to take off his jacket. I don't know how far he was willing to go, Stephen.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question. And you know, the post Alan Ball era of Survivor, like, are you willing to strip to mm-hmm. prove that you don't have an idol?
Yeah. Haley Ford said that she was willing to do it in Survivor Game Changers. Yeah, Alan Ball wanted JP Hilsebeck to get naked. Luckily, nobody on the Vokai tribe said that they were willing to search Kelly.
Yeah. How far would you
dodged a bullet on that one, Stephen?
Would you strip to prove that you didn't have an idol?
I think I would. I think I would. Yeah. I think if I was in the situation that Jason was, I think I would completely, you know, take off my jacket. I think I would get there buck naked. Yeah. And then even if I get voted off, I think in that moment, I think that that's an all-time clip. I think that they're showing like, let's remember all the wildest Survivor moments. Remember the time that guy got voted out bare ass naked?
I love that you're doing it, not because it's the right move, but just to like make the highlight.
It's a win-win. It's a win-win, Stephen. I'm always looking for those things of like, what's the TV moment and then also the right move.
So you're not even putting your clothes on before walking up to get your torch snuffed.
No, I think you leave and go out, you know, just completely naked. They'll blur it. I don't think they're going to leak the footage. Who wants to see it? Yeah.
Then you got to like take the trip to Ponderosa, no clothes. You're like on the boat. You're talking to like Dr. Joe. You're talking to like the therapist.
I'm
like,
Rob Sesternino, juror number 2. And I'm bare naked. And this is my Ponderosa.
Oh, man.
Again, you come back, Stephen, and you play like the winner of your season. I've said this for years.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what you do. You try to come back and take what worked for the winner when you play again.
Yeah, there you go. It was. It's always about the nudity.
Yeah. So, okay. All right.
Let's lost a tooth when I came, when I went back.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a question. This is Fat Tyson. Fat Tyson wants to know, better idol hiding, crotch idol or the hair idol?
So we've seen a couple crotch idols across the year. I believe Kim had a crotch idol, Tyson himself, the, mm-hmm. the normal Tyson.
Yeah.
I don't know if Norm had a crotch idol. Mm-hmm. But this is really the first hair idol. I mean, the daring, like the thing is like, no one, I just couldn't believe the guts
mm-hmm. yeah.
of the hair idol.
It's a bold move. It was a bold move. I saw Sandra say on Twitter that she tied it in there. I don't know if they like tested it. You know, I don't know how like tight they like did the ponytail. You know, I guess Rob and Sandra are expert like knot tires. I don't know yeah. if like Sandra is well as like tied like a super tight knot that they like were like trying to whack out for, you know, a couple of minutes before they sent her back to the beach.
Maybe that'll be next week's lesson. It's like how to tie. What if that is, you know, next week it's like their strategy lesson is about how to tie a hair idol. Like that could be a big, you know, mm-hmm. there could be a lot of like, yo, oh, did Kelly have a hair idol?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. Look, I think we might be running short on these lessons if that's the yeah. case, but why not? Why not? Okay. Let's take another question. What does Anne have to say, Stephen?
All right. Anne wants to know, what happens if the person selected to go to the Island of the Idols gets voted out the previous tribal council?
Oh, that's a good question. That's why they can't show it to us.
Yeah. That's right. Well, so far it's been, right. It's been someone from the losing tribe at immunity because they've done both immunity and reward together. Mm-hmm. So the tribe that lost immunity has selected yeah. someone from the other tribe. So it's been before the next tribal council.
What do you think about the red? Like, I feel like that in any of these scenarios, I feel like random draw is the least interesting way to do it.
I know. And it's like, you know, I mean, maybe it's a time thing. Like, do we really need to see the tribes debate? The other thing is it could be that they want to kind of adding randomness to it, like if it was like a tribe volunteering, like their leader or whatever, you're going to have, I mean, I don't know, that actually could be like, you don't necessarily want the person who the tribe is voting for mm-hmm. to be the person to go to Island of the Idols.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know the most ideal way to do it. I kind of feel like let the other tribe decide.
Let the other tribe pick would be really interesting.
Yeah. So, well, why not? Okay. All right. Let's take one from Thomas. Thomas wants to know, do you guys think that Rob and Sandra are actually living like survivors on their, or are their giant statues actually small apartments with AC, a bed, and a TV? From what I understand, they're actually out there living there. But I don't think that they are being supplied any sort of reading material or anything to pass the time.
I know. I mean, when I first heard the premise, I was like, oh, obviously they're like living at Ponderosa and they're like jetting in just for these meetings. But no, apparently like
it's I'd be legit. Fine with that. Who cares? Yeah. Who cares if they're living at Ponderosa?
But apparently it's like it's a real thing.
Yeah. So I don't know why they need to be living out there. And that's what makes me nervous about that they're going to come into the game. That's the one thing that gives me pause where I know it's been said a million times and this is all this, but why do they have to be living out there on the beach? Jeff Probst doesn't live on a beach. Why do Rob and Sandra have to live on a beach for 39 days with them?
I can't believe you would disrespect the oath of the idol.
I'm sorry. I apologize about that. Yeah. Okay. Stephen, I've seen a lot of people ask this question that Brian has. What do you think about this? Is this season a harbinger of something to come in Survivor's future?
I don't think so. I mean, so Brian wants to know, am I the only one who's noticed the transition to Boston Rob as the new host of Survivor? I don't think so. I mean, is that your perspective? What's your perspective on this, Rob?
I don't think it's going to be the case. I mean, I know that people have, tossed that idea around. I think they could do worse than Boston Rob. I think that he would be fine, but I kind of feel like that they would go in a different direction where that I think that if Jeff ever left the show based on some of the hires that they've done, that they've had to like, for instance, like Drew Carey replaces Bob Barker. I kind of feel like that they would go with somebody who was like a celebrity, like a Mario Lopez type or somebody who has like some like prestige outside of Survivor than to go with a former Survivor hosting the show.
I mean, I would be very happy if they went with Jonathan.
Yeah. Jonathan LaPaglia.
Yeah, I mean, he's done a great job over at for us.
I mean, I also think that maybe to go in the direction of let's have a woman host Survivor. I feel like that would be like, I think that you would want somebody that you wouldn't be, you know, comparing them so much one to one for Jeff. I think you go with somebody who's like the complete opposite of Jeff as much as you could.
Who's your, like, I think it's likely that it would be a woman as well. Who do you think? Who's, and I also don't think it's likely that Jeff is ever going to retire from the show. But who do you think? Who's your pick for like best replacement host?
Are we talking a contestant or a celebrity?
Well, you know, your choice.
I mean, I don't have anybody that's on the short list. I mean, I actually think that Rob would be a good choice if you were going to go with a former Survivor. I think that he's been, you know, behind the scenes. What's that? No, Boston Rob. He's done hosting before. And so I think that he's familiar enough with the production. I think that he would do a good job and knows like what buttons to push and how to get stuff out of people at the tribal council. But I think that they would go a non-Survivor route.
What about Cochran? I mean, you know, he's very non Jeff Probst type, you know, great at conversationalist, great at interviews.
He would be, I think that he would be too much. I don't know if you're asking me for real or not, but I feel like that he would be too much like, how am I sounding? Is this good? I think he'd be a little too much in himself to be, you know, concerned with hosting the show for the other contestants.
Yeah.
Andrea would be a good choice as well.
Andrea would be a good choice.
In the chat. Yeah. Yeah. Another good one. Okay. Steven, let's take a question from Will. Will wants to know, was I the only one expecting a how do you like them apples quote when Boston Rob was referencing the Harvard parties that he used to attend with Kelly? Yes, she said, I went to Harvard, something that you hate, Steven. I'm sure you instantly got a fury in her or towards her when she said she went to Harvard.
I know.
Boston Rob went to some Harvard parties. Hey, smarty pants.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a fun little we learned a lot about everyone in that moment. We learned a lot about Kelly, we learned about Rob, we learned about Sandra. It was a great moment.
Yeah, I want to hear more about what happened when Rob crashed the Harvard parties.
Yeah, it was probably wild.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Paige wants to know a question about fourth gear, Steven.
Yeah, Paige asks, is playing in fourth gear the new meta for Survivor, or are new players playing too hard out of the gate? Well, we talk about this a lot, Rob.
Yeah. Steven, do you drive stick?
I don't.
Yeah. I don't think that Steven or I know the gears.
Well, the higher ones are, you know, are higher. They're more.
How high does it go? Is there five?
I don't know. I mean,
Is there six gears?
There's three. I know that. And I'm assuming based on this question about fourth gear, there's four.
Is it better? Do you want to be in first gear on the first couple of days in the game, or is first gear too slow to start the game?
I think if you're going up a hill, you want to be in first gear.
I think that first gear seems like that it was too slow. I feel like that you probably want to hit when it's day one. You probably want to be in second or third gear, but probably not fourth or fifth. That's too fast.
To Jamal's point, though, it is, you know, it is a long game, and like it does make sense to start it a little bit slow. And I do think that people come out of the gate. Do you have this is the noise you make when you're playing with the cars?
That was my impression of Missy swerving off the road.
Yeah.
Molly.
I think it's like it's I don't think one is necessarily right or wrong. I think it's two different perspectives. It's like, does it make more sense to go a little bit slower in these opening days, or should we come out of the gate? Should we move super fast? I mean, as someone who, you know, I think so much just depends on the speed of everybody else. It's like, how fast is your tribe moving? That's the speed you could go.
That's right. I think you want to operate at the speed of your tribe. But I think that what you want to do is something that Sandra touched on when she was sort of explaining the exercise with Kelly of like, no, you need to pay attention to people because you need to build bonds, because you need to build trust. And that's ultimately what this is all about. And I think that what you need to do, you need to go slow in the beginning to go fast later. So I think that you should really be a little more concentrating on building the bonds with everybody that are in the group, as opposed to coming out of the gate and playing fast. Now, ironically, when you went back, I think you were ready to play fast. The other tribe, the Takeo tribe, they started playing fast, but you were on a tribe that was playing slow.
Yes. I came out of the gate way too fast. And then I had
what gear?
I was like how, like ninth gear, and then I immediately sort of like went into zeroth gear because I saw that I was.
You don't know anything about gears. They don't have that in the New Yorker.
But actually, that like, you know, that I sort of like felt for Jason that way. Like, I'm being targeted. Like, people think I'm going too fast. So, like, what I have to do is really just like take a step back. And yeah, you're right. Like, so much is tribe dependent. On Cambodia, the other tribe was like going crazy. And you know, maybe, you know, it just depends on the speed that other people are playing. But, you know, I think to Jamal's point, again, like, which was like, Jason, it makes sense for you to play this game. You're playing a game from the bottom. Like, of course you want to go faster. Of course you want more chaos to happen. I'm playing a game from the top. I want things to move slower. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a good point. He just was a little too slow. Like, he actually was at zeroth gear with the napping. So, like, he needed to just be moving. Just be moving in a direction.
Okay, this is a question from James. Where did Molly, Jamal, and Jack go wrong tonight? Is splitting votes now wrong to do tonight, since it creates the opportunity for another person to take advantage of that situation? Steven, was this an overplay to split the votes here on the first? Like, there's maybe Jason had an idol, but there's no way he was playing it on Nora at that first tribal council, right? So why not put the votes on Nora, make Jason think the votes are going to be on him? You flush his idol and don't create the opportunity with the vote split.
I mean, I think no way is always strong. I mean, we certainly saw, you know, we saw David play an idol, right, in Millennials versus Gen X, mm-hmm. for an ally, you know, for Jessica, where it was like, wow, that was premature. Yeah. You know, it felt very premature.
I don't remember the exact circumstances of the tribal council, but I don't believe that the misdirect was looking like you tonight, David. It's going to be you, David, tonight. It's like, I don't think that it was that they were sort of like hinting that it was going to be him.
Right.
You know, if you could inject the fear, it's going to be you, and then have, you know, then actually vote out somebody else. Do you need to split the vote?
But I just don't feel like the split vote, you know, splitting the votes was a function of their fundamental misconception about the tribe dynamics, right? They thought this was a group vote. Everyone was voting with them. And with that belief, then splitting the votes is fine. They were just completely wrong about that. It wasn't like, I do agree that in certain situations, splitting the votes does create an opportunity for other people to, you know, kind of sneak in.
You open the door. Yeah.
Yeah. But in this case, that wasn't the case. Like, it wasn't a close vote. Like, no one snuck in there. The whole tribe voted basically as one against those three people.
Okay. What about Jackie Chiles, Stephen?
All right. Jackie wants to know, who would you say was the orchestrator of that Molly blindside? Lauren and Kelly?
This is an outrage. Yeah.
It was Lauren.
Yeah, I think Kelly seemed like that she was kind of on the fence. Like, Tommy almost talked her out of it at one point. Hey, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? So Lauren seemed like she was the most gung-ho for that vote.
And then Janet probably I would put second, because as soon as Lauren kind of opened the door, like, hey, what do you guys think of Molly? Janet was like, here are the 30 things I don't like about Molly. You know, it was like, Janet was like very party line until like that door just opened a crack, and then Janet like leapt through it.
Yeah.
Janet, by the way, like one of the great contestants of the season so far.
You She's know, fun.
Clutch yeah. in the challenge again tonight. So just, yeah, really fun.
Okay. Steven, Tara from Albany wants to know, are you a fan of the no dancing rule? I think that I am a big believer in no dancing.
Steven, in general, I mean, you know, you saw me at your wedding, Rob. There was a lot of dancing.
I saw you at your wedding. You were, you were dancing, ready to go.
Yeah.
In choreography and everything.
Yeah, that was a disaster. As anyone who can imagine how well I would perform in a choreographed dance sequence, that's about how well it went.
Yeah, I'm lucky they didn't have to do the Mecca on or the Mecca on my season.
Don't know what that means, but I believe you.
Okay.
I mean, in general, like, you know, I think that no dancing rule is an extension of Jeremy Collins' no handshakes rule. Any kind of display of enthusiasm,
yes,
or alliance is bad.
Yeah. Okay. This is a question from, is this PO? Let's see. This is a question. What is the proper way to respond when being accused of having the idol the way that Jason was? Did Jason nail this, Steven?
I thought he did as well as he possibly could.
I've got
no idol. Let's dispel this. I'm not playing an idol tonight. You know, I roll up my sleeves, no idol. I think, like, it's dangerous. Like, there's some, right? There's some, like, desire. What do you think of, like, saying, I don't have an idol, I'm not playing an idol tonight, versus, I might have an idol, I'm playing it tonight, or I'm playing my idol tonight? Like, what do you think of that, you know, of the bluff versus the total honesty
move? Yeah, I think that the total honesty move, I think in the case of Jason, where everybody thought he was sketchy, I think being coy and evasive, I think, plays into, see, that we got to get rid of this guy. He's too sketchy. But I think that he countered the perception of he's sketchy with, you know, brutal honest, like, hey, I have nothing. I've like, you guys think I'm up to something. I have nothing. Check my pockets. Look, I have a look. I'll take my jacket off. I have nothing. As opposed to maybe I do, maybe I don't. I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah. I think Jason played it as well as he possibly could play it.
Right. And so I think that, you know, and then I don't know what the opposite of, you know, you're worried about somebody that has an idol who's not sketchy. And then for that person to be a little coy, then that's probably the right move. I think you want to play against type.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What about Jen Manning? Great Jen Manning.
All right. Jen Manning wants to know, I would have known all the answers to the Rob and Sandra quiz show before they said anything just by listening to them on RHAP. Mm-hmm. How much of an advantage are the super fans going to have over the Elizabeths and Kellys?
To be fair, I don't know if we ever got the names of Sandra's dogs on the podcast.
Yeah. And also, like, to Kelly's credit, or to Kelly's defense, like, you're in that situation, your mind is racing, you know, like you're trying to consider every possible angle. It's like hard to focus on what really did seem like extraneous information.
Yeah. All right. Let's do one more question here. Michael says, what are your thoughts on Tommy telling Janet that he had Jack and Jamal in his back pocket, overselling himself as a player too early? Yeah. Where do you think things are going for Tommy, Steven?
I mean, it seems like Tommy's playing a really good game, right? He does have a lot of allies on the, you know, and at the same time, like being able in the moment to say, to see where the winds are blowing and to make the choice to go with the numbers, to see that, you know, is smart. And I don't think, you know, when it's not like Jamal and Jack are going to hold it against Tommy, because like everyone voted for Molly, you know. Yeah. I mean, what's your perspective? I really like Tommy.
I mean, that we've definitely seen things from his perspective. It's interesting that he was the one that had reservations, but then ultimately went along with the move and we got to see his reservations. And so I think that either we will see that he was right to have reservations, or that he was sort of just like a wet blanket stick in the mud on not going through with this move.
Yeah, it's tough. It's like one of these things where, you know, it seems like he's making smart. I mean, it's hard, you know, it's hard as him, maybe harder for him to judge whether it's a smart move than it is for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, Steven, let's talk about what is coming up, what we have going on. Okay. Steven, first, let me start things off here. We get a lot of questions from people about, hey, where can I get the RHAP merch? And we just relaunched a new store. Actually, the link that's up there, rhapstore.com, actually points to the old store. But if you go over to robhasawebsite.com/, thank you, Scott, robhasawebsite.com/merch. You can head on over to the brand new apparel shop of Rob is a Podcast. We have a lot of our most popular designs available all in one place. Check this out, Steven.
I like this banter is coming shirt. This is fun.
Yes.
Good stuff here.
A bunch of a housewarming gift for you, Steven, in your new place. Ready to go. You're a large, right?
I'm probably a medium. I lost a lot of weight since my shoulder surgery.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, throw it in the wash. Make sure you put it in the dryer. Head on over there. Lots of fun stuff and more designs are coming over at robhaswebsite.com.
Oh, I like this NASA mug a lot. Yes. I'm going to get one of those.
I'll get one for you. This is great.
Oh, I really like the NASA mug.
Okay. All right.
These are great.
All right. Masked Singer, season 2, episode 1 recap. Of course, the Masked Singer is going up against Survivor this season, Steven.
Oh my God. And Masked Singer actually won its time slot.
I know.
Like, this is like the first time in a long time that Survivor.
Well, you know how I feel. If you can't beat them, join them. We've got a Masked Singer wrap up. Puya Zambakili and Liana Boris are co-hosting our Masked Singer wrap up. New episode coming up later on this week for the Masked Singer.
Wow.
News AF. I spoke with your friend and mine, Tyson Apostle and Danny Bryson about
how are they?
They're doing great. Talked about the cart that was out of control at O'Hare Airport and much more on the most recent edition of News AF. Then Robin Akiva need a podcast. That can you believe, Steven? It's up to 51 episodes.
I'm amazed. And you guys had a live show. It's incredible.
We did have a live show this summer.
It's
great.
That's right. It's so cool.
This week's episode was all about This Week in Robin Akiva, where we took the Jordan Kalish quiz about every podcast that Akiva and I have done in the last week of September. And if that sounds riveting to you, you're probably already a fan of Robin Akiva Need a Podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's up. Okay, our own Shannon Gates has another deep dive. Wait,
I don't want to know anything about. I'm not going to watch this season. Don't spoil me.
Okay, can I say that they called this woman the godmother?
Oh wow. Okay.
Janine. She makes smoothies.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. And then here's another guy that this guy shares a name with me. We have a lot in common. This is Rob from Survivor South Africa. Another deep dive with Shannon Gates. Boy, if you guys are not watching the International Survivor in the summer,
fantastic.
It's a lot of stuff going on. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then tomorrow I will speak with Molly. I heard in the preseason that she had whiteboards of Survivor. She's a big Survivor super fan. We'll see what she has to say tomorrow morning.
What do you think of this? Like people calling someone a new Parvati on day five or whatever.
I mean, how many Parvatis have there been? I feel like this should be like Parvati 9.0.
It just seems like this crazy way to like this crazy brush to paint someone with. I mean, the same with like Libby in that season, whatever that was, Ghost Island.
Ghost Island, yeah.
Where they were like, oh, she's the new, you know, ask Bradley, actually, Kligi, about this like new Parvati, you know.
Yes, ask him about the new Parvati paradigm.
Trope, yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. So we'll talk to Bradley. He's going to be here in the studio. Excited to catch up with Bradley. Be very, very fun on Thursday. Get your questions in. If you have questions you want to send in for Bradley, survivor@robswebsite.com or send them in on the voicemail. We'll talk with Shannon Gates this weekend. Of course, the queen of International Survivor, the biggest Survivor fan of the world, Shannon Gates, is going to be my guest for the episode number 2 feedback show this weekend. Get your voicemails in and questions for Shannon Gates. And then Haley Strong is going to be on the RHAP B&B this week with Mike and Liana playing some games, and we'll find out exactly why Molly lost with David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis as well. Coming up all this weekend, and then don't miss the Wiggle Room coming up on Monday. We'll get into the wand off, and then our resident Sandra Diaz-Twine superfan, Paul Osleson, is going to join us, and so we'll have a lot of fun with Paul on the This Week in Survivor History quiz. Steven. All this is made possible by the contributions and the support of the Rob Hazzo podcast patrons. And Steven, we have a great offer right now for our patrons who are coming on board between now and before up until next week's Survivor Know-It-Alls. We have a great offer, Steven. The RHAP pop socket. Steven, are you aware of what a pop socket is?
No, I'm looking at you demonstrating it, and I don't even know what it is.
Pop socket. It goes on the back of your phone, and then you can. It's good for selfies. Good for saving your phone from being dropped on the floor. Got an RHAP pop socket for the new patrons right now, and also we're sending to our existing patrons as well. That's all when you become a patron. robswebsite.com/patron for all that, where we are connecting fans all around the world of reality TV. Steven, robswebsite.com/patron. Facebook Friday coming up later on this week. Much more. Steven Fishback, of course, is on Twitter. He is at Steven Fishback. He's got a people blog. You should go read it.
Yeah, I'm about to post it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting.
Oh, my God. You have no idea. Basically, the things you heard here, us talking about, I probably wrote basically the same things.
Okay. All right. Yeah. But I'm sure the written word is a much more exciting way to experience it.
Well, you know what they say. It's like the written word is worth a million moving pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. That's right. All right. Steven, what else is going on with you these days?
This move, you know, I got like a U-Haul arriving tomorrow.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. A lot of stuff. Lance, yeah. What about you? What about you? How's life? How's like, you know?
Yeah, we had it was a big birthday party this weekend for my son Dominic, and then you know, we're clearing out the Big Brother schedule. Hopefully we have some more Big Brother interviews coming up soon, and then we are now full throttle on Survivor. We're on like fourth gear of podcasting Survivor.
I'm on first gear. I'm just like starting the engines, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, Stephen, this was so much fun to be back with you. And it's so fitting that it was on the anniversary of our first live show together. Can you believe it?
Who got evicted?
Val.
Oh, right. You said
yeah,
that.
Val got, yeah, Val got.
That was a fun episode. That was a fun episode to talk about.
Yeah, it was kind of a wild episode when Val got voted out, because there was a lot of stuff. It was like a crazy tribal council. There were votes all over the place, so it was hard to figure it out. And we were just watching in a room with a bunch of people.
God, energy was crazy.
We had no idea what it was going to be like, and so we'll be back together for a live show in a couple of weeks, 2 weeks from tonight in New York City. And then later on in December, we'll be back together for a live show on the West Coast in Brea, California. So be on the lookout for that. Stephen Fishback, great being back with you.
Oh, my God. It's great to see you again. I'm going to come over there. You know, you're inviting all
these people. I'm coming by you. I'm doing a pop-in. Text me your address.
Like really, really dark.
I'll see you on the 101.
Yeah. So we can high five.
Drive past you. All right. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye. Survivor, know it all.